one that got down with me at my bed at night, and we said our prayers together, or she tucked me in and she was sitting there on the bed as we talked to God. She was one who, when I failed, you know, daddies, get up. You're not bleeding to death. Go on. And the mamas is running over there. Let me check. Let me see. And they're kissing it and they're putting stuff on it to make you feel better and all that stuff. And you know, a mother's kiss can do away with a broken leg. Did y'all know that? It can make it just disappear. A mother's kiss and a mother's hug is wonderful. Having a mother is a great thing. Not all mothers act like they need to. Not all mothers do what they're supposed to do. And I understand that. That does not mean that we need to do away with all mothers. It means that what we need to do is to honor the ones that we have. And look for the things within your mother that can help you to be the right kind of person. And help you to be the person that you need to be. God intended for us to have mothers. God intended for us to have mothers as a part of our life. That's what He wanted. The passage that you just heard read, and we're going to look at it in just a moment, along some other passages, are eternal principles. Now, in eternal principles is not something that's just found in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it is an eternal principle that is always true. It has always been true from the beginning of time that children are to honor their parents. And it will always be that way. Now, a couple of passages I want us to look at today, they really are Old Testament passages, but don't think they've lost their strength and power. We can go over the New Testament and find almost the same thing. Now, look at this. What did I do with that thing? I got it right here. Okay. Look at this passage, if you would. Here's mothers. Honor your mother. Your father and your mother, that's a purpose. Now, I capitalize that because I want you to see the purpose of that. What you're going to get out of this? God doesn't say just do this and there could be a reward in this. There is a reward in this. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, we need to learn this lesson. And it is that there is a benefit to honoring your mother and your father. Some of you would not be here today if you didn't listen to your mother and your father. You wouldn't listen, if you didn't listen to your mother, you wouldn't have made it long because she told you, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Now you need to do this and you need to do that. And that's basically what it's saying here. If you want to live your life, you need to be willing to honor your father and your mother. But especially today, are we talking about honoring those that are mothers? Now look at this. The passage that was read you're hearing a while ago. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. It's not a matter of we do this if we want to. It's a matter that it is a command from God that we're to do that. That is a command that we need to obey just as much as any other passage we need to obey that. And he says there's two things here. First of all, the first that he mentions here, that your days may be long, same thing as the other. See, the passage in Deuteronomy is restating the old law. The children of Israel had the old law given to them. But they turned away from God and now it's time again for them to hear that law again. For a different generation to hear it. For it to be impressed on them that this is what you're supposed to do. So honor your father and your mother, that you may live a long life. But not only that, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you, so that you can have a good life. Now I don't know if he expands it more, or maybe we just don't see enough in Genesis there, where it talks about, or in Exodus there, where it talks about honoring your father and your mother. That's something we've got to learn to do. We've got to learn to do that. And we need to be taught to do that. Let me tell you something. Fathers, got any fathers out there? You demand that your children respect their mama. There's no way around it. Now, I've heard some children talk about their mother with their father standing there and the father didn't say anything. Let me tell you something. Grow up and be a man. Say something. Demand that they respect. Demand that they speak in the right tone to your wife, to their mother. They need to have the right tone about it. Now, you may say, that's not much. Oh, yes, it is. They need to understand respect. is a little bitty thing that grows into a great thing. And they need to learn respect. They need to be taught to respect their mothers. And you do that, fathers. And if you don't do that, you're failing as a father and as a husband. And you need to do that. Now, one of the great ladies that I have read a little bit about, like, is Irma Bombeck. Now, she's dead. She's been dead for several years now. But she was a humorist that could say things in a funny way that had such a meaning to them when you really thought about them. Now, she gave this story about creation. Now, this is her idea of creation, and it may not go just exactly with what the Bible has to say, but think about it, and some of it may be closer than we like to think about. She said an angel went up to God one day, and God was working really hard. And the angel said, "God, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, you know, creation's just around the corner, and I'm trying to create a woman. I'm creating a mother." He said, "Well, God, are they any different than the men?" "Yes, they are." He said, "Let me tell you something. This model is so hard to make. 180 moving parts, and every one of them can be replaced. They're not plastic. She's not plastic. She has to be washed and dried. She has to be tested. She has to be worked on." He said, "Listen, this is a hard thing to do. And I've got to work really hard on this. I've got to work hard on this in every way. And you know, I've got to create her with six arms." And the angel said, "God, you can't create somebody with six arms." He said, "The six arms is not a problem." He said, "It's the three sets of eyes that's a problem." He said, "Three sets of eyes, God? Why does she need three sets of eyes?" He said, "She's got to have one to be able to look through walls, so that she can hear her children in there and she can see what they're doing. And she tells them, 'If you don't stop it right now, I'm coming in there.' She's got to have another set of eyes in the back of her head where she didn't even have to turn around when you're doing things that are wrong. She just tells you, and you're going, 'She didn't see me. How does she know I'm doing it?' But she's got them." And he said, "Then she's got one set of eyes that are looking straight ahead. And you see those eyes when you mess up, when you do things that are wrong. And those eyes look over at you and said, 'I love you. It's okay. We'll get through it. We'll work it out. And it won't be a problem there.'" Angel said, "Boy, that's going to be hard to do. This woman that you're going to create is going to be a very difficult thing to make, God. Why don't you just take it easy a little bit and rest a little while?" He said, "No, I've got to get this done. I got to get it done." He said, "God, you're trying to put too much in this thing. You're just getting too much in this little thing here." He said, "Look at it. It's not that strong looking." He said, "Let me tell you something. It's stronger than it looks. This mother is really strong. She can operate on black coffee and leftovers for 2 weeks. She's got strength and she's got power that you can't see." He said, "She really knows what's going on." And the Lord wanted everybody to understand that. And he was trying to put this woman together in such a great way that he wanted everybody to recognize that. He said, "She can take a pound of hamburger meat and feed six for a meal. And she can do this and she can do that and she can make this and she can make that." And the angel said, "God, you know, this thing of mother is going to be a hard thing to do. Can you get all that in this little model?" He said, "Yes, I think I can." He said, "Well, is she one that, can she think?" He said, "Think? Let me tell you something. She can think, she can compromise, she can work with anybody, and she can get anything done. She's that kind of person." An angel looked over at her, and he took his finger and he touched her face. He said, "What in the world is this?" He said, "It's a tear." He said, "God, she's already broke. She's leaking." He said, "No, she's not leaking." He said, it's a tear. I told you it was a tear. It's something that she does when she's upset. It's something she does when she's happy. It's something that she does when she just feels great and she's proud of her children. She'll shed a tear." Angel said, "God, how in the world can you think about creating something like this?" He said, it's a hard thing. But you know, this model, this mother, is more like me than anything I ever created. The angel said, God, boy, you've done a great thing here. You've done a fabulous thing here. I don't know how you could do this. God, how could you make something like this? You've got to be really smart, God. God said, no. Part of this is just there in that mother. Part of it's there. Now, as I said, don't go to Genesis and read creation and find that in it, okay? Some of that is caught to cause us to think about things just a little bit and to consider this thing of motherhood and the thing of who mothers are and what they do and how much they are in our life. And again, I tell you, some mothers are not all they need to be. But that's not the general rule. If a mother does something wrong, like taking the life of her children and something like that, let me tell you something, it's on the front page of the paper, isn't it? People are talking about it. You know why they're talking about it? Because it's so odd for a mother to do something like that. Now, when mothers give up their life for their children and they sacrifice all that they have, maybe a profession that they have in life, to be the right kind of mother, let me tell you something, they don't talk that much about that. And in the world we live in today, it's kind of talked about, well, you're going to be a mother and stay at home. Woo, you're losing it. Let me tell you something. Mothers that get to stay at home is a wonderful thing. Now, I'm not doing like a preacher I heard about a while back. Had a church from Georgia call me. They said, we just fired our preacher. I said, what'd you fire him for? He said he got up on Mother's Day and he told all those women that the women shouldn't work, they need to stay at home and all that stuff. And I thought, has he lost his ever-loving mind? Is it right for a woman to work outside the home? Read Proverbs 31, people. She works well with her household. She cleans it. She keeps it. But she buys and she sells land and she does that. It's not wrong for a woman to work outside the home. But let me tell you something, woman. The number one thing is that family. You say, oh, you're putting a load on us. Let me tell you something. A man needs to work too. But your number one responsibility is that home. That home needs to come above everything else. That home needs to be great in the hearts of the men and also of the women. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to work outside the home. It's hard. It's difficult. All of you know that. Most of you work outside the home. You do that. Don't do it for things. And there's little things that you really appreciate that you might miss. I guess I can tell this. Y'all just don't tell my daughter I'm telling stuff on her, okay? The other day, one of our granddaughters stuck her tongue out at her mama. And Melanie said, we're going to need to talk about that. You've done that a couple of times, and that's not something you need to do. She said, oh, mama, I didn't mean anything by it. My tongue just needed to have air. I don't know where this kid gets this stuff at. But see, that might be something you might miss by not being there in the home. Pay attention to what your kids do. In fact, get you a little notebook of some sort that you can write in and just write down some of these things they say. And let me tell you something. When you get gray-headed and they get gray-headed, then you can tell them what they said. And when they get exasperated with their children because of the things they're doing, just say, look at what you said on such and such a day. And let them kind of be embarrassed. Or if you want to, I'm not above this, of embarrassing my kids in front of their kids. And saying, yeah, but I know one of our granddaughters, she loves for you to tell what her daddy did. What did daddy do when he was little? She's trying to figure out what she can get away with herself, I think. But the honor, the respect needs to be there for mothers. Now, I want to give you a few things here. And I want us to see this. What do mothers, how do they bless us? How do they help us? Look at this, first of all. Our mothers are those that are willing to be dedicated to us. Hannah strikes me as one. In 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11, it talks about Hannah. Listen to what it says. She says to God, "Give your maidservant a child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." She prayed to God, "God, I want a child. I want a man child." That was a great thing at that time because the men were the ones that protected. The men were the ones that looked over and watched over the home. And she was asking for that child because it showed that she was really a mother. God gave her a child. Now look at the dedication she had. She said, "God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give him back to you all his life." And she did. When he was a young man, she carried him up to the temple and she said, "Here, y'all train him, y'all teach him." She went back every year to visit him, to let her know of her love for him. He became a great man. I'm going to tell you something. The reason he became a great man is because of the dedication that his mother showed him and the kind of life that she was willing to live. You see, we're so busy in this world making life, making a living, doing all these things. We forget about there are people that are looking at us. There are people that are looking and they're seeing us. They're our children. They're seeing how we live our lives. And they're seeing the kind of people that they need to be. And so we need to teach them the right way to go and help them to do that. We need to show our dedication to the Lord, to the church, to the world we live in. But not only that, look at this. We need to be those protectors like Miriam. In Exodus, the second chapter in verse 3, it talks there about how that Moses, the children of Israel, the boy babies were being born left and right. And so the king said, or the Pharaoh said, "Let's get rid of them, throw them in the river." Well, Miriam threw her child in the river. But she put him in a little bitty basket there. She put him in a basket there and she protected him and she watched, had her daughter to watch over him. And here he was, one that was protected and guarded over. One that was protected by his mother who was willing to put her life on the line for her child. How wonderful it is we've got mothers that are willing to do that. Now, the next one is a New Testament thing I want you to see. And here in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, it talks there, Paul does, about Timothy and about his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. He talks about their faith and the faith that they had. And he said, "I'm persuaded that it's in you also." Why could he say that? How could he say that? Because in her, those two women, was bound up a faith in God that they gave to their children. Brethren, we blame educational systems, we blame colleges, we blame universities, we blame society, we blame everything else. But let me tell you something. The big responsibility of every one of us is to be the right kind of example, the training of our children. In fact, the Bible says you train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, some of us have misunderstood that passage. We've said, okay, if I take him to church, that means he's going to always go to church. That's not it. It said you find the best way to train that child, the best way to teach that child, and you do it. And let me tell you something. It didn't always take. I've always tried to say there's three things involved in raising children. One, you have an effect on your child. And we need to have a great effect on them. Two, society has an effect on our children, the world that they live in. But three, they take that and they put all that together and they come out with what they want to do. I've seen some good mamas that have children that don't act like they should. And I've seen mamas blame themselves for it. Mama, don't blame yourself totally for it. You have some responsibility, but your child also has a responsibility too. To do what's right and to live right. I've seen people, even in the jail up here, that they said, like the old Johnny Cash song, was that Johnny Cash that sung that, "My Mama Tried"? Maybe it was somebody else that did that. But the mothers have tried to do the best they can. And listen, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we're not able to accomplish all we want to accomplish. But go to God and give it to God and ask God to help you to continue to be the right kind of an example, to continue to do right. Nobody's perfect. You're not. Your children are not. So please don't blame yourself for a lot of stuff you had nothing to do with. Do the best you can and pray a whole lot. Somebody said, how do you get faithful children? You dedicate your life to God and you pray to God with everything you have. But not only that, we need to be people that we're going to be praying people. Hagar in Genesis, the 21st chapter. Here is, she's had to leave the house of Abraham. She goes out into the wilderness. She's there. She puts her child over here. She goes over about I think the Bible says about an arrow's throw away, because she don't want to see her child die. And she prays to God for help. And God comes and gives her help. Mothers, you teach your children how to pray. You get down with them at night and you help them to understand they need to have prayer before they go to bed. You help them to understand they need to pray for the food that they're eating. You help them to understand that they need to be people who they're going to pray and they're going to pray and they're going to pray. Had a mother one time said, my son's having a problem with the coach. She said, he asked me, do I need to pray about it? She said, what should I do? I said, go tell him right now to start praying. Help him to understand that that's where he needs to go, is to go to God. Some people say, oh, that's just a little thing. Oh, no. For a child playing ball, that's a big deal. Teach them to pray. You take every opportunity you can to teach your children to pray, to go to God and to talk to God and to ask God for help. But not only that, we need to be those who we help them to learn how to love. In 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter and verse 26, Solomon had two mothers to come before him. Those two mothers that were there before him, one of them had killed her child. And they had this controversy going about whose child was still living. One said, it's my child. The other said, no, it's my child. And Solomon, in his wisdom, said, what we're going to do, bring me that big old sword over here. I'm going to cut this baby half in two. And I'll give you one half, and I'll give you the other half. What do you think the mother said that it was her child? She said, give it to that one. She was willing to give up her child to save her child's life because she loved her child. Love your children. Heard of one young man, he said, my daddy looked at my brother and said, my brother had been in jail. He had been in prison. He had been all this. And here another time he was going to go to jail. And daddy said, that's it. I'm through with you. No more. Oh boy, said he looked over at his mama. He said, I could look in her eyes and her face and know mama hadn't said no more. She was still ready to help. She was still ready to do what she could do, because she had a love for her child. And that love overcomes the problems. Oh, let me tell you something, children. You hurt your mama when you do things that are wrong. And they hurt deeply. But they'll keep on loving you. They'll keep on doing what they can for you. Live right because of your mama. Live right because of the kind of person that your mother is. That's what we've got to do today. Because some of us have had some of the greatest mothers that could ever be. Some of us have been blessed so much to have mothers that love us, care for us, overlook us, swat our rear ends when we need it. Nothing wrong with that. It's good. It helps. But understand, too, hopefully mothers are trying to help their children to go to heaven. More than anything else, that's what a mother wants. Or at least that's what they should want. And so, we don't give up. We don't stop. We don't quit. Mothers don't do that. They just keep on plugging away. One of the greatest things you can do is to show Christianity by your life. Show it by the way you live. Let me tell you, a lot of people can quote passages. But what people are looking for, even our children, are people that are really trying to live this book. trying to follow what is found here, trying to do what God wants them to do. And I've talked to some children, and they said, I might not do right, but it's not because my mama didn't try. It's not because my mama didn't try to help me to do what's right. It's not because my mama doesn't love me, because I know she loves me. Go to the jail up here, and I guarantee you, 90% of the people that'll be there are the mamas. Even though their kids have done wrong, the mama's there. The mama shed the tears. And those children understand that. I wish it would motivate them enough to be those kind of people that would show the right kind of an example in their life because of what their mama's done. Don't you shame your mother by the way you live. You live according to God's will. You live according to God's standard. And if you hadn't been living right, mother, get yourself right with God. Repent of sins. Show your children, I'm going to do what's right. No matter what, I'm serving God. I'm doing God's will. That's some of the women we see in the Bible. It's a great thing. It's a shame that we men don't spend some time studying the women of the Bible. Amen. Y'all, Henry and I are the only ones that got that one. Y'all missed that one. We need to study them because they're the great examples that we need to follow. If we can help you today in any way to be a better mother, if we can pray with you and for you for sins in your life, if you just want prayer because I've been struggling with some things in my life, we want to do that. We want to pray with you and for you. Not because we're any better, but because we want to help in any way we can. Please come right now.